As you can see, the tables are out in the lobby. It's our missions fair. We're excited about just the history that God has given us to send missionaries out into the nations. And God's called us. That's still on us. We're still sending people. And Micah and Melissa are good friends, and they're about ready to head out to Asia next month. Yes, COVID doesn't say, it says no to some people. These guys are saying yes, they're headed to Asia. And Mike is our keynote speaker. And Mike, I want to welcome you and just encourage you to speak God's word to us and see what you have. And our prayer is that God would use you just to flowing out the amen, just people amen. Saying yes to Jesus, may it be redemption. So come and open God's word for us. Okay, brother?
Thank you, Jay. Good morning. It is a joy and a privilege to be with you guys this morning. It is always fun to worship with believers. It is always good to open God's word together. And this week has been extra special because we're at the home of my good friend Garrett and his wife Maggie. My daughter Joanna is a year and a half old, and on Friday I took her up into the gym. She's playing with a ball. If you've met Joanna, she doesn't really smile much, but she is joyously walking around with this ball, and I run into two teachers from SCS, and I go, "Do you know Garrett and Maggie?" Because I assume everybody knows Garrett and Maggie. And they did. And they started telling me stories about Garrett and Maggie and their childhood, and I was just ecstatic to be in a place where there is a large amount of love for my teammates, my coworkers, those who are going to share the gospel overseas. So thank you for the welcome that my wife Melissa and I have received from you. It has been a joy to be here this week. We're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the end of chapter 5. So if you have a Bible of your own, open to the end of chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you. It's on page 966. We're going to be studying a passage that calls us to our role as believers, ambassadors for Christ. But as you turn there, I want to first read a passage from the Psalms. Psalm 97 begins with these words. "The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to study scripture together, to rejoice in the reign of our God, our Savior. I thank you for the congregation, the family of Highland Park Baptist Church. What a privilege to worship you with these people. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open. May I be made less so that you are made greater today. May we grow in our relationship with you. May we leave this place encouraged, edified, and challenged to share the gospel, the great news of our Lord, with all those that we interact with. Lord, I pray that you will work on specific individuals this morning, that the cry of amen will be shown in their lives in a yes to going overseas. I pray, Lord, that we will be focused in all of this on who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I read the passage from Psalm 97 because I think it is incredibly important for us to begin with an understanding that missions is not beginning with us. Our readiness, our witness does not begin with us. Rather, as Psalm 97:1 says, it begins with the reign of the Lord. It is incredibly important for all of this to begin with an understanding, a rejoicing of the reign of the Lord. I love the sermon series you guys are right now in. It's great. It tied in. I didn't know what the sermon series was, and then I started looking and I was like, this is perfect. God's sovereignty, God's plan is amazing in that way. That the Lord reigns. And then, with a joyous response to that reign, if we do not fully submit to the truth that God is reigning in every aspect of our lives, we will never go anywhere. We will never tell anyone, because it's just not that important. But if we do hold dear to the truth that God reigns sovereign on his throne, then we will declare it with boldness. I start there, but now I want to shift to 2 Corinthians 5 and 6, because I promised we'd go there. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, verse 1 of chapter 6, working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Our readiness to be ambassadors for Christ is something that we day-to-day lives. As a kid, I grew up in Pakistan, moved to East London, England as a small child, and lived there for most of my life. My mother homeschooled me because we lived in the worst part of England. Proud to say the highest police call out in all of England is where I lived. For those of you who know England, you don't know my part of England. And so I was homeschooled. And then at the end of fifth grade, my mom decided that she wanted to stop being my disciplinarian, my principal, and wanted to be my mother again. And so she enrolled me in public school. For some reason, she didn't enroll my older sister, but me, she felt need to be enrolled in a public, don't ask me why, but that was her desire. And so I was enrolled in public school, an hour away by train. The worst part of England also has really bad education. And so that summer, I got on a train with my dad to make sure that I could do this. I could know which stop to get off on, know which train to get onto, know how to go to school. So we went to Ingatestone, Essex. We walked across the train bridge, got back on the train, and went home that summer. He asked me, Micah, do you need to go again? Or do you feel confident? Are you ready to go to school? Yeah, Dad, I got this. I'm ready. First day of school comes around, he goes with me on the train. Students start filtering on at each stop. There's about probably 500 students on this train. We get off at Ingatestone, and my dad says, okay, Micah, have a good day at school. I'll see you at home. He gets back over the bridge and goes home. I realized in that moment, as an 11-year-old, school does not exist at the train station. I had to get from the train station to school, and I had no clue how to do it. My readiness was lacking. I was not in any way prepared, and so I started following these students, terrified that someone was going to beat me up, terrified that someone might take my empty backpack, or even worse, they might talk to me. I kept my head down, got to school, and I survived. I stand here today as proof. 7 years later, I graduated from that high school. I fell asleep on the train going there. I talked to my friends. I knew the crazy people who to ignore. See, my 11-year-old person had no understanding of what it meant to be ready. I think as you guys sit in these pews, as a believer, I have no clue what it's going to look like in Southeast Asia. Melissa and I proclaim with great boldness, we're ready. Are we prepared? No way. Are we terrified? Yes way. Readiness does not always mean being prepared. And yet, to be ready witnesses, we must understand the privilege that we have as ambassadors for Christ. Paul begins, verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. This is amazing. Melissa, we were at lunch earlier this week, and she said, don't miss the forest for the trees. As we go through this passage, don't miss this proclamation of truth in your lives for the rest of the sermon. You are an ambassador for Christ. Now, Paul is himself. There's a twofold portion of this. First, about himself. Paul, as an apostle, is an ambassador to the Corinthian church. He's calling them to reconciliation. For those of you who know this portion of Scripture, Paul's purpose of writing this is to reconcile the church in Corinth to the ministry of God, the ministry of reconciliation. And he says, those who are reconciled, believers, if you are reconciled, you also are an ambassador for Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? What does it mean to rejoice in the reign of the Lord? Well, for me, when I think of rejoicing, think of being an ambassador, I always am drawn to August 14th. For those of you who are American, which I assume is most of you, August 14th is the Pakistani version of July 4th. August 14th is Pakistani Independence Day. And growing up, August 14th meant the whole world stopped. Everybody put on their best clothes, all of them being green. Pakistani flags were in every window. Every kid found an excuse to wear a Pakistani flag as a bandana. And all of the streets were stopped with cars honking their horns, shouting, Pakistan Zindabad. Long live, long reign, Pakistan. One day a year, you knew who all the Pakistanis were. One day. What would it look like if every single day you knew who the Christians were because of what they were shouting, because of what they were proclaiming as ambassadors for Christ? Folks, this passage does not say, I've read it in the Greek, I've read it in the English, tried to read it in the English. It does not say, we are ambassadors for Christ on Sunday. It does not say we are ambassadors for Christ when we go to our grow groups. It says we are ambassadors for Christ. Paul continues on. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That is the responsibility as ambassadors. The pleading with non-believers, with those who have strayed, be reconciled with God. If you have never been reconciled with God, I would love to talk to you after the service. And I'm confident that anyone on staff would love to talk to you after the service, because there is great news of a Savior who died for us, just waiting to be told every single moment of our lives. Paul, in verse 21, I love verse 21. Verse 21 is a great theological statement, great declaration of who we have as our Savior. My theology classes, I got to take a theology class in Denver Seminary with Gar Hoover. He had to put up with me for a whole semester. Those classes, they could have just read this verse and then go and believe. It says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. For our sake, God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin. Paul is setting up a foundation for our ambassadorial role. If you don't know what you're proclaiming, you're going to do a really bad job at proclaiming it. First, foundation that Paul sets up is the perfection of Christ. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. We proclaim a perfect Savior. Second thing that's highlighted in this one verse is the fact that we are sinners. If you didn't know we're sinners, go to the nursery and hang out with my daughter. If she's still in there, because she might have escaped. I guarantee, I thought I had an understanding. You know, I went to seminary. I thought I had an understanding of the sinfulness of humanity. I can check that box. I got it. I understand. And then I had a kid. And you know what? I didn't understand sinfulness just because of her behavior. I understood it because of mine at 1 a.m. when I wanted to sleep. Kids are hard. Paul highlights in this passage the perfection of Christ. If we don't declare the perfection of Christ, we're declaring a gospel other than the truth. He then declares our sinfulness. If we say, you know what? I'm actually pretty good. God's lucky to have me on his team. I love what you said earlier, Aaron. It highlights that. We've missed the boat if we say, I've got something that God really needs. No. That's not it. We've missed it. And then, middle of verse 21, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So that in Christ and Christ alone, we might become the righteousness of God. I love it. Paul has highlighted the foundation upon which we are ambassadors. If we are to be ready witnesses for Christ, we need to understand that his reign is supreme, eternal, perfect, and that in his wondrous majesty, he has deemed it fit to save us in our sinfulness through the work, life, death, resurrection of Christ our King. If we understand those things, I'm seeing a couple nods, which is always a good thing. Not nodding asleep, which is also a good thing. If we understand those things, then verse 1 of chapter 6 should hurt us. It should make us cry out, how can we not do this? It says, working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. My nephew, I'm blessed, is cross-country season. He's running cross-country. My family is kind of cross-country nerds. My dad did it. My sister, one of my sisters did it, the loved one. I did it. My nephew does it. Cross-country is wonderful. And so I've gotten to go to some of my nephew's cross-country meets. And it's always interesting to see. His school, it's a smaller school, so it's mixed with a couple other schools. They show up to the race. They kind of wander up to the start line, and they get ready to run. There's other bigger schools that before the race starts, they gather over in a circle and they start cheering. They start shouting their school. They know what it means to represent their school well. I'm going to try to get that into my nephew's head at some point. But it's a really good example of this. If we don't know what we're excited about, if we don't have that foundation upon which our faith stands, we are not going to receive the grace of God fully. If we view it simply as a gift to be held on to really tightly, we're missing a key piece of this entire gift. It's that working together piece. Synergo in the Greek. Closest English word is synergy. Cooperation. Not at the same level. Hear me well, church. Not at the same level of Christ. But working with our Lord, declaring his majesty to all the earth. Mark 16:10, preach the gospel to all creation. Working together, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Do not view the grace of God as something simply to receive, but rather participate in. Our calling as believers is as participants, not recipients of this grace. Declare it faithfully. I don't understand it. I don't understand how a perfect God looked down and said, I am going to use a broken, sinful creation to declare my majesty. But he did. He has chosen to use us as his ambassadors. I can't be louder than the thunder that declares the glory of God, even though I might try. We cannot be faster, further afield than the rain that falls on the evil and the good. And yet he has chosen us to go and proclaim his name. So if we sit back, kick back, and enjoy just the recipients of God's grace, we've missed the wonderful blessing of being a participant, the privilege of cooperating with the King of Kings. Genesis 12 is perhaps one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Melissa and I, we've done this off and on for now about a year, and we're really bad at staying on it. But we said we're going to memorize one verse from every chapter of Scripture. Don't ask me where we're at, because we've not gotten very far. But we got past Genesis 12. So that tells you we were at least past Genesis 12. But Genesis 12 is part of the Abrahamic covenant. And in it, God tells Abraham that he's going to be blessed. Not so that he can enjoy a nice piece of land somewhere in the Middle East by himself. No, so that he can be a blessing to others. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed through the work I'm going to do in you. And by God's grace, by the work of Christ, we're grafted into that promise and that responsibility. You are not blessed simply to be blessed. A pastor of mine once said to me, Micah, we are not end users of the gospel. That phrase, it struck me. It stayed with me for years. We are not to be end users of the gospel. Rather, we are to receive so that we can then share with others. Moving on. Paul says, for he says, this is talking about Isaiah, he's going to quote directly from Isaiah, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I love this, behold, now. I picture Paul writing this letter. He's writing, he's getting more and more excited. We're ambassadors for Christ. He's getting more and more excited. He gets to this passage from Isaiah. He quotes it. He has to repeat himself. Look, you guys, right now is the day. Right now is a favorable time. What a picture back to Mark, to Luke 4, Mark 1. When Christ stands and declares, the kingdom of God is here. Luke 4, what you've heard in my presence today is fulfilled. Paul, with great excitement, says, look, behold, this is big news. Now, for those of you who have your Bibles, flip back to Isaiah. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49:8 is where Paul quotes from. And I can't help but look back two verses to Isaiah 49, verse 6. Is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Paul has just got done telling the church, the Corinthian church, you are ambassadors, and he hearkens back to Isaiah 49. If I hadn't done this, I think I would have been doing a church. We have been called to be ambassadors, to be ready witnesses, so that we may be a light to the nations. And that means a light right here in Michigan. This is the first time I've ever been to Michigan. It's a really cool state. Melissa and I drove to Detroit yesterday. We got to go see Belle Island, or Belle Isle. Thank you, John, for the suggestion. It's beautiful. You guys are called to be a light to the nations right here. There is an Indian diaspora in your city that you guys are reaching out to. If you didn't know that, go look at the tables outside afterwards. And as a church, you're called to be a light to the nations, to preach free the gospel message around the world. May we be ready witnesses. First, with an understanding of who we are under the King of Kings, saved by grace through faith. Oh, may we accept that truth. Because if we don't know that to be true in our own lives, we will not ever proclaim it to be true in the lives of those we engage with. May we participate in God's mission. It is a privilege to participate in God's mission. You guys are ambassadors. May we proclaim the finality of Christ's work. Do not receive the grace of God in vain, because now is a favorable time because of what Christ did on the cross. May we be ready witnesses, rejoicing in the reign of the King. Church, to be witnesses, to declare the supremacy of God to all people, we need to first rejoice in the reign of the King. We also need to declare boldly that reign in everything that we do. In your workspaces, declare boldly. I got to speak to the youth on Wednesday. I was operating on very little sleep. But the challenge that I gave them was to invite someone to church. You guys have a responsibility right now, whatever your age, to be an ambassador for God. I heard in our prayer meeting earlier that someone's retiring and going overseas. That is what it means to not waste your life. That's what it means to be ambassador for Christ at every age. May we rejoice and declare the reign of the King. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we do have the opportunity to praise you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who deemed it well to save us. Lord, may the words of Scripture not grow dim in any of our eyes, but rather may we proclaim it boldly. May we hold firmly to it so that we may be witnesses ready to share the gospel with each and every person we engage with. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you together as believers, to proclaim you boldly as believers, to fall on our knees and say, King of Kings. In Jesus' name, amen.